I want to introduce our first speaker, Terry P., who is from Muskegon, Michigan. Terry has released 32 to 35 pounds. She's a food inventory step and maintenance speaker. And Terry's recent back-to-back is August 6, 2012. Terry, I know you're here.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I wish you could look out on this like I am looking out on you, all you beautiful people in recovery. Perhaps not quite yet, and you're just kind of checking us out. And if that's true, I hope you will stay. It's wonderful to see new friends here, old friends here. I've actually been in program since May 10th of 1999, so I know a lot of people. And I'm just grateful and humbled to be standing here before you this evening. I want to read you something I wrote to my sponsor this morning. This is my writing for the day. I'm a little anxious this morning about speaking tonight. I haven't told anyone here yet. I know Margie will pray for me, and I will ask her to do so, and she did. The promise, we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace, seems appropriate this morning. I claim that promise as my own. I hadn't known serenity in my life before program. I was too busy trying to get what I wanted to make me feel secure. The first sense of serenity I experienced here was around food. Weighing and measuring liberated me. When I experienced serenity, I experienced the sense that all is well, that God is with me. As I write, I feel my anxiety about speaking lifting. God is with me. All is well. That's what I wrote to my sponsor this morning. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, I always say that I may not have shaken your hand yet. I may not have hugged you yet, but I know a lot about you. I know your struggle. I know your sense of failure. I know your lack of self-respect. I know how hard it is to keep going when you want to give up. I know all of these things about you, and I don't even have to be in your vicinity. I just look out and know that these things have been part of your past as they were part of my past. And so we sit here tonight as a support group. We are a group of supportive people. We all have the same problem, and we're the only ones that can help each other with it. No one else understands. No one else has the answer. See How is the answer for me and for countless others. And I'm so grateful to know you and to know that because you are supportive, I can pick up a phone list and call any of you anytime, any day, and I will be supported. Now, that's the negative part of our disease. I also want to emphasize that we are here tonight celebrating the 12 promises. What a positive, positive reward. That's what happens from our hard work, our hard personal work that takes place before the ninth step. Then we talk about the promises. You know, in the big book on page 82, that's where the talk about promises begins. It says, we're going to be amazed before we are halfway through this phase of our development. This phase of our development they're talking about is working the ninth step. And I have to tell you my history about the ninth step. I wasn't going to do it. I came here and I looked at the steps and I thought, I like those. I like step 11. I like step 1. I'm not going to do step four, and I'm not going to do step five, and I'm not going to do step eight, and I'm sure as heck not going to do step nine. Thank God, by the time I got there, I had grown. I'd become a spiritual being. And I was ready to make amends to the people I had harmed because my pride was speaking to me, which it has a lot in my life and kept me from doing what's good for me. I don't know what's good for me. And that's why I love the promise that says God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I was asked to speak on a couple of the promises tonight, or one of them, and that's one of them I chose. God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. I struggled with food my entire life and got here when I was 55 years old. That's a lot of struggle. That's a lot of diets. That's a lot of food programs. That's a lot of money spent on special food. That's a lot of misery. That's a lot of relapsing. That's a lot of that cycle of gaining and losing and dieting and losing and gaining and then over and over and over again for 55 years of my life. I didn't have much faith in God. And I was told that I had to give up sugar and flour. I'm more a sugar and flour addict than I am a quantity eater, although I can sock down my share in quantity too. I practically challenged God to keep me abstinent for one day. The thought of giving up sugar and flour for one day seemed impossible to me. I was scared to death. And I almost demanded of God that he show me that he can keep me abstinent just for one day. And God did. And, you know, when any of us read that promise and we talk about God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves, that has to be the first thing that comes to mind is God keeps me abstinent because I sure can't do it for myself. That's the first thing that comes to mind. There are many more things. He's given me strength and courage. He's given me a spiritual sense of self that I've never had before. He puts spiritual people in my life. One of those things is my roommate for this weekend. We just connected spiritually. What a gift from God. He led me to this person, and she says God led her to me. So here we are as roommates on this beautiful spiritual weekend, enjoying each other in prayer and in sharing heart to heart. God does for me what I can't do for myself. In the most poignant and personal way he's done that for me is he gave me the ability to care for my husband during the last 3 years of his life and during the time when he was in hospice care. And he prepared me for that. I'm a nurse. I'm a retired nurse. And I worked with hospice patients in the past. He prepared me to care for my husband. And that's a very personal and a very special way that God did for me what I could never have done for myself. I could not have done that. That was not in my nature or in my wherewithal to see a husband through death. And yet it turned out to be one of the most beautiful spiritual experiences of my life. And God does for me what I cannot do for myself. One of the other promises that really speak to me is the promise about we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. I didn't understand the word serenity. I'd never known peace. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't have any background to say, oh, this is what serenity feels like, or this is what serene feels like, or this is what, I had no life experience to give me that comprehension. I had anxiety, I had fear, I had anger, I had self-pity, I had fear, anger, and resentment. Isn't that a big one? Oh, my God, yes. That's the farthest thing from serene that there is that sense of resentment. And I resented everybody in my life. I resented my husband. I resented the my kids. I resented my boss. I resented the people I worked with. I was childish and immature and overly sensitive, and I resented anybody that hurt my feelings. And so being able to comprehend the word serenity was just not in my vocabulary. It just wasn't. Somehow, working these steps has brought a measure of serenity into my life I have never, ever known. Serenity feels peaceful. Serenity feels as though everything's going to be okay. Serenity feels as though God is with me, I can handle this. Serenity feels as though there's nothing in this world that can disturb me. And so that promise truly has come true in my life. The first time I ever considered the promises seriously was in 2003. I'm from Muskegon, Michigan. Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, it just was beginning back then. It had very, very tenuous beginnings. But I had a woman call me from St. Joseph, Michigan. There was a pretty active group there. And she asked me if I would speak at a phone meeting. Now, this was before smartphones. This was before cell phones. This was before Area 10. And she asked if I would speak on a certain promise at a Sunday night meeting. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to do a little studying up on this because the promises weren't active in my life. I knew they were there. I was familiar with the big book. I just hadn't taken a look at them at all. So I really seriously opened page 82 and 83, and I thought, these things have come true in my life, and I haven't even worked for them. They're just there. So I got stuck on that 7 o'clock promises meeting, and that has evolved into something that's still there every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And it's a wonderful meeting. If none of you have ever gone to a 7 o'clock promises meeting, phone meeting on Sunday night, I highly encourage it. So that's my first attempt at really looking seriously at the promises in my life. And they have come true. And I think probably the last one to come true was this one, and that is, we will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. That is a tough one for me. That has been a tough one for me. I had kind of a tragic childhood, so I grew up blaming that childhood for everything that was wrong with me. What was wrong with me was my inability to forgive what happened to me in my childhood. That's what was wrong with me. So even that has become something that has occurred in my life. I don't regret the past, at least not the way I wish I used to. Because I would say that it ruined my life. Well, it didn't ruin my life. It brought me to Compulsive Eaters Anonymous and this 12-step program that has introduced to me a way of living that I never dreamed possible. I think the most important of part of me not regretting my past is this. I've had sponsors asked me to be their sponsor, and I didn't know that my past would be the same past that hurt them. And I could say to them, that happened to me too, and I don't let that past influence the way I eat anymore. It no longer has control over me. It no longer can take power over me. I can no longer blame it for the way I am. And that's what's happened to me. The same thing has happened to you. And that's why we are a support group. The same kinds of things have happened to other people that have happened to me. And God leads people to me that I can help because of my past, because of the way I used to point fingers and say, you know, if that hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be so miserable. If you hadn't done that to me, I wouldn't be so miserable. So, the promises are important. They are uplifting. They are positive. We talk about positive pitches, and we talk about how our program is a positive program. And it's positive because we do such hard personal work before step 9 to get to the promises first. That's, those are the rewards. That's the pat on the back. That's the hug from God. That's the hug from your sponsor, that we recognize these promises do come true in our lives. And believe me, I never thought I would comprehend the word serenity or know peace. And I'm going to keep it short, and I'm going to end tonight because I want to read you just a little bit about what happens after the promises. Well, I want to say this first. You know, when we read the promises at meetings, here's the question, and you need to answer me tonight. Are these extravagant promises? Agreed, and that's so true. They are not extravagant promises. They are being fulfilled among us, all of us. And here's what the next step, the next paragraph says after this, after reading the promises. And it says, this thought brings us to step 10. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And that's I'm going to close with that being my wish for you tonight, that you will enter the world of the Spirit and that you will grow in understanding and effectiveness in your own lives and with your own sponsees. You're wonderful people. It's so wonderful to see you all. Thank you very much.